To this question of his grandson, Beelzebub replied, "Indeed, my boy, to the great sorrow of everything existing in the universe, scarcely anything has survived from the results of their labors, and hence nothing has become the heritage of your contemporary favorites. The information they indicated in the manner I described passed from generation to generation for only a few of their centuries, and soon after the epoch of the magnificence of Babylon, thanks again to their chief particularity, namely the periodic process of reciprocal destruction, not only did there almost entirely disappear the legomenism containing the keys to the lawful inexactitudes in the law of sevenfoldness that were introduced into each of the branches of the being Aphelkalnes and Solgenokas, but, as I have already told you, there was also gradually lost even the very idea of this universal law of the holy Heptaparaparshanok, known in Babylon as the law of sevenfoldness. Every kind of conscious production of the beings of the Babylonian period was gradually destroyed, partly by decay in the course of time, and partly in processes of reciprocal destruction, whenever this psychosis of theirs reached the stage called the destruction of everything within the sphere of visual perception. Those were the two chief reasons why almost all the consciously actualized results of the learned beings of the Babylonian epoch disappeared from the surface of that ill-fated planet, and at such a rate that after three of their centuries, there was almost nothing left of them. It must also be noted that the second reason I mentioned led to the gradual decline and the almost total disappearance of that new form established in the Babylonian era for the transmission of information and various fragments of knowledge to later generations through the beings they called initiates of art. I know a good deal about the disappearance of that custom of certain beings becoming initiates of art because just before I left that planet forever, I had to elucidate this very thoroughly for another aim of mine. For this purpose, I specially prepared a very good Ticlunia chosen from among the beings of the female sex there and made these clarifications through her. Ticlunias were formerly known on that planet as pythonesses, but the contemporary ones are called mediums. So then I found out that in the most recent times, only four of these beings, initiates of art, still remained there, through whom the keys to the understanding of the ancient art still continues to be transmitted by means of a direct line of inheritance, and that this transmission now proceeds under very complex and arcane conditions. Of these four initiated beings still living today, one comes from the beings called Redskins, dwelling on the continent of America. Another from among those inhabiting what are called the Philippine Islands. The third from among the beings of the continent of Asia, in the region known as the source of the Paianji River. And the fourth and last from among those who are called Eskimos. Now listen carefully to why I used the expression almost when I said that three of their centuries after the Babylonian period, every kind of conscious and automatic reproduction of the being Aphelkalnes and Solgenokas had almost entirely ceased to exist. The point is that two of the branches of knowledge connected with the conscious productions of the beings of the Babylonian period chanced upon favorable conditions, and certain of their elements passed from generation to generation, partly consciously through the beings transmitting them and partly automatically. One of these two branches recently ceased to exist, but the other has even reached certain beings of contemporary times, almost unchanged. This is the branch which is called sacred dances. Thanks exclusively to the survival of these sacred dances, from Babylonian times, a very limited number of three-brained beings now have the possibility, by means of certain conscious labors, to decipher them and learn the information hidden which is useful for their own being. The other branch I mentioned, which recently ceased to exist, was the branch of knowledge of the Babylonian learned beings devoted to the combination of different tonalities of color, which contemporary beings call painting. The transmission of this branch of knowledge from generation to generation proceeded almost everywhere, and although gradually coming to an end with the flow of time, it continued until quite recently at a regular tempo, both consciously and automatically, among the beings of a community called Persia. And it was only just before I left your planet for the last time when the influence of the so-called painters of contemporary European culture began to make itself felt, also in Persia, and the Persian beings of the same profession began to wiseacre, that the transmission of this branch of knowledge entirely ceased. It must be remarked that in spite of all this, quite a number of the works of Babylonian times did reach the beings of contemporary civilization, chiefly the beings breeding on the continent of Europe. But these beings, without suspecting the well of wisdom concealed in these works, which were not originals but only partially decayed copies made by their recent ancestors, who were not yet complete plagiarists, and without taking the appropriate practical measures to safeguard them, simply stuffed them into what are called museums. There, little by little, these works have been either totally destroyed or partially mutilated by frequent copyings with various eroding and oxidizing compositions, such as alabaster, fish glue, and so on, only in order that the copyist might swagger before their friends or fool their teachers or achieve some other Hasnamusian aim. It must in fairness be admitted that now and again certain beings of contemporary civilization have suspected that something was concealed in the works that chanced to reach them in their original form, specially created in Babylon by the members of the club of the adherents of Legomenism, or even in the copies of these originals made in the course of their transmission from generation to generation by various conscientious professionals, to whom, as I have already said, it had not yet become proper to plagiarize, and who, therefore, did not resort to altering the details of the works of others in order to pass them off as their own. And it sometimes happened that certain of these inquiring beings of the European civilization, while searching very attentively, actually found in these works some fragment or other of this something that had been intentionally hidden in them. For instance, at the beginning of the contemporary European civilization, a certain monk named Ignatius, who had formerly been an architect, attained the possibility of deciphering the knowledge and useful information hidden in the productions of almost all the branches of what was then called ancient art, which had come down from the Babylonian epoch. This monk Ignatius was about to share his discovery with other monks like himself, that is, with two of his so-called brethren, with whom he, as a specialist, had been sent by his abbot to direct the laying of the foundations of a temple that later became famous, when for some trifling reason, ensuing from the crystallized consequences of one of the properties of the organ Kundebuffer, called envy, he was murdered while asleep, and his planetary body was thrown into the expanse of water surrounding the small island on which it was proposed to erect that temple. This monk, Ignatius, arose and was formed as a responsible being on the continent of Europe. But when he reached responsible age, in order to enrich himself with information concerning the profession he had made the aim of his existence, namely that of architecture, he left for the continent of Africa. And there he entered the brotherhood which existed on that continent under the name of the Truth Seekers. And afterwards, when this brotherhood migrated to the continent of Europe, where it grew in numbers and its members took the name of Benedictines, he was already an all rights possessing brother of this order. The temple I referred to exists there even until today, and it is called, it seems, the Abbey of Mont-Saint-Michel. On this continent of Europe, several other inquiring beings also happened to notice lawful inexactitudes in the works of various branches of art that had reached them from ancient times, but no sooner did they find the key to the understanding of these inexactitudes that their existence came to an end. Still, another being from the continent of Europe noticed these inexactitudes, and becoming more and more interested in laboring perseveringly, he was able to decipher fully works of almost all the branches of art. This wise terrestrial three-brained being was named Leonardo da Vinci. In concluding my present tale about contemporary terrestrial art, I might as well mention yet another of the many specific characteristics of those beings of contemporary civilization who devote themselves to this famous art. This specific characteristic of theirs is that whenever one of them notices some lawful illogicality in the productions that have come down from ancient times and begins to work in his branch of art in quite a new manner, perhaps in order to make this lawful illogicality clear to himself in practice, most of the beings around him, occupied professionally in the same branch, at once become his followers and begin doing supposedly the same thing, but of course without either aim or sense. And it's owing to this specific characteristic of the psyche of the representatives of contemporary art that, on the one hand, what are called new movements in art are constantly springing up among your favorites, and, on the other hand, those movements which were somehow rightly established by preceding generations, even though only after a fashion, are constantly dwindling. Although this phenomenon exists among the representatives of all branches of contemporary art, for some reason or other, the beings occupied in the branch they call painting are most susceptible to it. Hence, it is that at the present time there exist among these professionals a great many new movements in painting, which have arisen in this way and have nothing in common. These new movements are known there by names such as Cubism, Futurism, Synthesism, Imagism, Impressionism, Colorism, Formalism, Surrealism, and many other such names, also ending in ism. At this point in Beelzebub's tales, the hoofs of all the passengers of the trans-spaceship Karnak suddenly radiated something phosphorescent. This meant that the ship Karnak was nearing the place of her destination, that is, the planet Revozvarendra. Already a stir and bustle began among the passengers preparing to descend from the ship. Beelzebub, Hassin, and Ahun ended their conversation and also hurriedly got themselves ready. The phosphorescent gleaming of the hoofs came about because from the engine room there was directed to that section of the ship, concentrated in the required proportions, the holy parts of the sacred, omnipresent Okidanok.